get over it. And so you just go ahead. When I said to Jesus, Maria, I hope you don't say that you're invisible. I am not invisible. I am chosen, because I didn't call on her in the midst of everyone else. And I went, oh my God. And then she said something similar to it. And it just cracked me up. That's why I was laughing, because I have to laugh at myself, because when I do something that is ridiculous, why not enjoy it? Listen, what can you do? You can either be mortified or you can use it for an opportunity. I have decided I am going to laugh in my life. I mean, you know, I look on YouTube sometimes to see what I can watch. Be very careful. What you try to watch that's funny. There is Christian things you can watch that are funny. Try not to venture too far out, because in a moment of time, they will switch it. And so, delete, 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 delete. Okay. Better to just laugh at us and our frailties. Amen? Okay. You have to preach. Preaching, your preach has to be your practice. You know, this is where, preach the gospel. You know, we know this, and don't ask me who said it, because I don't even remember any, but somebody said this beside me. Preach the gospel, and when it's necessary, use words. Right? Your life is supposed to be a representation of the word of God. I mean, what would Jesus be pleased with everywhere we go? Are we one way with a certain group of friends, then we are another way with a certain group of friends? Are we the same inside of the church walls as we are outside of the church walls? Because I will tell you what the world is looking for: authenticity. You know, it's hard to find. Someone who lives what they believe, or someone who lives what they say they believe. Someone who is consistent in worshiping God. I find myself just like, I had Landon overnight, and I'm just like sitting on the, and we're watching a movie, and I found myself, it had nothing to do with the movie. I'm just going, God, Jesus, I just love you. Jesus, I just love you. You're amazing. You're amazing. Then I'm watching the movie. People think I'm crazy. I don't care. I am crazy. I am crazy about Jesus Christ. The thing that sets people apart is people who are so in love with him that they don't care if other people notice. In fact, they are hoping they catch on. Amen. There has to be a reinstitution, a revision of how we think and what we do. I mean, we have to be the people that are the light in the darkness now. We can't be we have to be a Christian that knows more than just about the Bible. We have to be the written testimony of Jesus that affects somebody else's life for eternity. Okay. You have a great testimony to share. I said, why aren't we soul winners? What? If I asked you, how many souls did you win last year? I don't even want to know. Don't respond. But if I said, how many people did you win to receiving, actually having a relationship with God last year? Like, not even right now, last year. Like, take the whole year. I know you were in isolation. I know. Where was your boldness, though? Did you hide it in isolation in your house? Did you stop believing what God said? Did you think that you were going to starve to death or never find a roll of toilet paper again? Did you? Do you know that God is able to take care of all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you know that accidentally I had pre-ordered like 84 rolls of toilet paper that arrived on my front step from Amazon? And I went, why did I order 84 rolls of toilet paper? And then the pandemic hit, and I went, thank you, Jesus, taking care of all of my needs according to your riches and glory. One thing I didn't want to be less of and have none of was toilet paper. You know it's true. Be digging through stuff looking for, oh no, 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 toilet paper is the ticket. See? See, I told you. We have a testimony that we can share. It might sound silly to someone, but for someone who didn't have toilet paper, that's not funny. You know, I'm telling you. Like, I wish I knew God like that. He shows up with toilet paper on your doorstep. I need him. I need him. You see, there is a place in the world right now that needs your testimony. How many of you ever heard of Tim Tebow? Now, you know, you're getting ready for me to talk to you about football. So I'm going to read this precisely because you know I have no idea what I'm saying if I don't read this, except for I love his example. Okay, so I'm going to do this really carefully. Okay. Okay. So people are always asking him about why he was so amazing at football. And so they always asked him, is football your passion? Is football your passion? Is that what makes you so good at it? And he answered, thank God for writing it down, Jesus is my passion. Football is my platform. Do you get it? Jesus is my passion. Wherever I am is my platform. This is just not my platform, you know. This is a platform that I get to use sometimes. Hopefully to help get you guys to go out on your platform. But he seized opportunities to get the word out. And you know what he did. He etched the scripture. Did you see it? Did you watch him when he had John 3:16 in his eye black? You know what that is, right? Well, I saw it. So yes, I know what it is. So he put John 3:16 in his eye black in 2009 in the championship game. See, read that. Okay, 92 million people, when he did that, 92 million people searched the web for what John 3:16 was. 92 million! He was using his platform to get people to his passion. Hallelujah. So he seized that opportunity. And God chose him on purpose because he knew he would choose him back. And he knew if he would choose him back in front of everyone, God said, oh, do you see my little boy Tim out there? I mean, I built him that way. I gave him a functionality. I set him in front of thousands and thousands of people because I want to break Google for a moment. I want to show that people are interested. I want him to be an example. And you know what happened afterward? They started coming to him and they started saying, man, you don't understand how much this was reiterated and what happened. And he's like, well, what's up? And they said, it was the number one hit on Facebook and Twitter. Your yards were a completion of 31.6. The ratings of your game were 31.6. The time of possession that your team had the ball was 31.06. You threw for 316 yards, and your yards per rush, which I have no idea what that means, was 316. Ta-da! Ta-da! Okay, Tim Tebow is a part of God's team. And he is an obvious part of God's team. And you know what he did because of all of that famousness that he got? And all of that credibility that he got? Oh, I know. He took a lot of money and he took it to spend it on people, children that had issues. He spent it on children that had, what is it? Down syndrome. And then he took more money and he spent it on trafficking, sex trafficking. What do you say about Tim Tebow now? Woo! I mean, he needs cheering still going on in his corner because he's still serving God. He's still a light in the darkness. He's still being very salty, this man. He's making people thirsty for what he has. Oh, like, thank you, Tim Tebow. What about you? What do you have? What is your platform? What has God given you? We all know God has given Jeff a big mouth. I love you, but it's true. You know that. You're an influencer. Everything he said, when he goes into a room, people go, oh, Jeff's here. He doesn't even have to open his mouth because they've already heard it. They know. I can pick on him because he knows I love him. But what he says, people take into consideration, right? Because God marked him to be an influencer. But you know what else God marked him for? To be a payer into the kingdom of God. Amen. And when he knows what the word has said about him, when he knows the calling of God upon his life, it doesn't matter what his circumstances say. It doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do. It doesn't matter whatever is going on, because he knows there is a functionality that he has, and he is a payer into the kingdom. And that does not just mean that he is a payer into the offering bucket. Hello? I mean, thank God he is. The church has to function, but God has not called us to be inside people that just sit around and love each other. We do need to love each other. I'm glad community is back. I'm glad we're doing things to cause more community. We have all kinds of plans for you guys to hang out. But if you hang out and you don't bring another people, one more person to know Jesus Christ, I am going to pull all of my hair out, and then you're going to have to look at it. I'll be up here going, which wig should I put on today? Because I have no hair left, because you're not reaching anybody with life. Oh my God, don't do it. I swear, keep my hair in there. Jesus, please. Okay? We got to find out what our platform is. Tim Tebow also said this. Tim Tebow, not a preacher, not a pastor, just a person. Just a Christian, now is the time to take some risks. Yeah, I think that was relevant for now. To quiet the voices of defeat. To step forward and to make a mark, because this is the day. He was just agreeing with God's word. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We need to go around looking like the people who know that our God is faithful. Hallelujah. We need to be walking around going, oh man, yeah, thanks for that faithfulness, God. I remember when you were faithful about that. I remember when you were faithful about that. I remember when you were faithful. I'm going to fix my eyes on that today. And then I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for somebody who is faithless. I'm going to identify them and I'm going to go, wow, man, you look like you're having a rough time. You know, it's hard to find faith in this world. What can you put your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in? Oh. Wait, stop. Everybody turn around, put your hands towards Reveille. In the name of Jesus, I come against that. And I come against it with the power of Almighty God. I thank you, God, for an opportunity to give your name glory. By bringing about the turnaround right now that is needed for her. God, I thank you for the turnaround time. I thank you that Satan's plans to thwart her from becoming all that you have her to be is stomped in the ground right now. And God, we reduce this reaction to in Jesus' name. We say there is going to be a reactivation of faith. There is going to be a reactivation to her body. She is coming back to totally normal in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And does anybody want to go lay hands on her? Okay. You know, we're not going to put up with this stuff. We are no longer going to, oh yeah, that poor person doesn't feel good. Okay, if you don't feel good, there is a remedy, and the church is going to rise with the remedy. This is the church rising with the remedy. This is what we need to be doing inside and outside. We need to be the people that go to the person that has a problem and pray and cause it to be a turnaround. Yes, Lord. This is not an interruption, this is an interception. Amen. Love always wins. The word always wins. Faith always wins. The devil always loses. God is in charge and he's still in charge. We have to hold on unswervingly to our faith. We have to, Hebrews says this. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You want to know what the next strategy of God is? The old strategy of God. Do you want to know what works? What he said in his word. This is what he said. Consider. You consider. I have to consider. We have to consider. This is the strategy of God. How do we spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds? How do we do it? What am I going to do today to spur you on to good, to love and to do something good? A deed. Go do a deed. Indeed, what is your deed? What are you going to do? Who are you listening to? This is a prophetic church. You have your ears open to God. You know he speaks all the time. What is he speaking to you? What is he saying to you? What has he given you as a platform? Well, I don't know what you do every day, but you do something every day. You do something every day. You know, I was talking to myself as I did this morning. So I wake up very early on Sunday morning. I don't even need my alarm set because I get up by habit very early on Sunday morning. I don't like early. You know that. No, I like late. I don't like early. But it doesn't matter because my time clock is set with God for Sunday. You see? So it's a discipline in my life. Oh, that word. No one likes a discipline in my life. It's a discipline in my life. I have to go, okay, this is what I'm going to do because I have to hear from you. I have to not only get everything together, what I think you want to say to these people, but now I have to see the picture of how it looks. And then I have to see the picture of what the end result is going to be. And how can I spur these people on with love in order for them to do good works? How? And so everywhere I go, I have to think about this now. Now, you know, I'm acting like I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, I'm not. I'm just like you. You know that I have gone into Publix to get milk, and that's what I went in to get, and that's what I got, and that's what I left with a bag of milk. A bottle of milk in a bag. Okay, all right, you're right. Now I pictured a bag of milk. A bottle of milk and a bag. And so how many people did I go by? Went into Publix. I don't know, 30, 80, depending on the day. Don't go on Saturday. Depends. Okay, where do you go? Maybe you go to Costco. Oh, brother. Yeah. Have you ever just got gas at Costco? Oh, Jesus, if you want an audience that can't go anywhere, just get out of your car. Just go there to get your gas. Get out of your car, knock on your window. Do you need prayer? Because, you know, we're going to be here for quite a while. I just thought maybe I'd ask you. You need prayer for something, or you ask the Lord. Oh, okay, well, who am I going to love on today? What is my good deed today? He might go, you know, see that 15th car over there in a row? Because that's what you get at Costco. 15th car? Well, go over there and pay for their gas. That means you're going to have to wait for 14 cars. And you're going to have to sit there on purpose to go pay that person's gas bill. Oh, but we don't like that. We got things to do. Really? You do have things to do. You just have to shift your mind about what is important. Because people are more important than your trivial time. I got to get to my next project. On your project. Oh my God. See? They take pictures of me sometimes when I do this stuff. And then I look how goofy I am. So embarrassing. Good deeds. We have to do good deeds. We have to do good deeds. How are they going to know we're different if we're just like them? Okay, here's a good. I have to do this myself. So this is a practice that I'm practicing being good. So you know how people try to get in the front all the time. Everybody's trying to cut everybody off. Everybody's trying to cut everybody off. And I wish I had a rubber car because I'd just run into them, bump them right out of the way. I mean, like, this is my lane. Hello, I'm over here where you're supposed to go fast. You people go over there, you know. And then don't try to get in front of me because I'm, okay. All right, so now I know that I have to be, you know, I have to do a good deed. So now I'm like practicing. I'm practicing slowing down and going, you first. I'm not very happy about it yet, but I'm still practicing. Because even that can make a difference in somebody's life. I went to eat breakfast the other day with a friend, and I sat outside. And then people started coming from everywhere, and they were like, and so I was paying the bill. I was paying the bill so that my friend wouldn't get to it first so that she could pay the bill. Because, you know, we're supposed to be givers. And being hidden givers is even better to be outward givers. You know what I mean? I don't need anybody to know it. I just need to be doing it. And so I went in, I paid the bill, and there's these two girls, a mother and her daughter. And they were like not, it wasn't a little girl. It was like a teenager and her mom. And they're like looking at in there, and it is completely packed. And so I looked at the person, paid the bill, and I said, listen, I have a table outside right there. Has two people. Can they have my table? And they said, well, yes, they can. And so the person was like surprised that I wasn't even surprised. I thought this was normal. I actually thought this was normal until I saw their face. And they go, oh, that was so nice of you. And I went, oh God, what is this world coming to? You know? And so I said, well, of course. And so the person that was working the register said, just go out and stand by the table. We're going to go clean it off right now. You can sit right down. Okay, so I go out. I gather my friend. Said, okay, the bill's paid for. Let's go. And so she goes, oh, I knew you were going to do that. And so anyway, then we started walking away, and those people stopped me. And they go, thank you for that. That was exceptionally nice of you. What? This is normal activity. This is just that is just such a small example. But when you get in the habit of being a giver, when you get in a habit of noticing who is around you, when you get in an attitude of trying to make something better for somebody else, now we're getting on the page where God wants us to be right now. Because the revelation that is needed is it is so not about us, but it is about us being good to somebody else so that they can be interested in what we are having to give to them. I have more than a table to give to people. I have the word of the living God living on the inside of me. I have something that I'm carrying around. I have all kinds of testimonies about how good he is to me. I have all kinds of testimonies of how he intervened in my life. I have all kinds of testimonies of how he healed me, how he saved me, how he turned my life around, how he intervened in my family's life, how he saved my children, how he saved my grandchildren, how they announced that Gavin was going to, they didn't know if he was going to live or die. I know whether he's going to live or die. He's going to live. What was my strategy? Go in there and scream inside of the hospital? No. My strategy was, what is your strategy, God? We get you. I could do it. You know, I like to do it. I like to yell at the devil. I like to break his plans. It's no problem. But I said, what is your plan, God? He said, have Reve pray for him. He'll be out by today. Hallelujah. I said, Reve, God just told me if you pray for your brother, we're going to get to take him home. She goes, okay. She prays. We're in worship. We were over in the cave at the time. Teresa calls. Something's happened. He's all better. We get to take him home. Hallelujah. Went home the same day, right? Went home the same day. Oh, well, they don't know if he's dying. Well, now they know he's living. Why? Because God has a strategy. He had a strategy for my kid. He had a strategy for my grandkid. He has a strategy for you. He has a strategy for your family. And he has a strategy for all the families that are suffering right now. It's just that we have to be aware of them. And we have to be looking for them. And somebody out there is worried about their kid. Somebody out there thinks their kid is dying. Somebody out there thinks their kid has no way out. But guess what? We are an army that has been commissioned to go out and look for those people. And to give them not only hope, but to give them the answer and to bring them out of the darkness that Satan is trying to coop them in and break it off and bring them to freedom. Hallelujah. You know, you have power in your words. And if your words are aligning to God and aligning to the word of God, you are more powerful than you can imagine, but it's time for you to imagine. We are his chosen, but the chosen are chosen to do something. The power is here in our mouth. We have to release it. We have to be looking. Pharaoh preached, when he preached, he said, you have to see first. You have to see. I'm just telling you, you have to see them. You've got to be looking. You've got to be seeing how God sees them. It could be the worst. Okay, how many of you know Todd White? Well, you know what he's known for. He's known for evangelism. Well, I'm not an evangelist. Okay, you're a Christian. You still evangelize. You don't get away out. You got God's word in your mouth. You got to do something with it. And it has to be for somebody else. This is not a, let's gather together club so that we can help each other. Thank God we pray for one another. Thank God we're a family of God. I hear that all the time. Liberty is a family. Liberty is a family. Liberty is a family. Yes, we are a family. But we are a family that needs to gather in others that don't have family right now. Amen. There are a whole lot of lost people and alone. They are broken. They are broken. And we're still trying to get ourselves fixed. Well, I feel broken. Okay, in Jesus' name, be whole. Go to your word. Find out what it says. Yell at yourself in the mirror. Speak what God says about you. Who are you? A holy nation. A priest. A king. Made to do good works. Fashioned by God ahead of time with works assigned to you. Okay, you're done. Go. Go find some other broken person. Well, I just don't feel like I'm up to it. Okay, get up to it. You know how you get up? Get up. Well, I made a mistake. Okay, God is bigger than your mistakes. When you make a mistake, you don't say, okay, that's okay. God doesn't care if I sin. Yes, he cares if you sin. Sin is still sin. Let's just be real. Evil is evil. Let's not partner with it. But then you recognize it. You have to see it. And then you go, oh, you should do that. If you see sin in your life and you're not appalled at yourself, you're not very close to God. I mean, God deals with my heart and I go, oh, how did I let that happen? How did I let the devil sneak that one in on me? I am so appalled. I'm like, I am so appalled at myself for falling for this. But I'm chosen. If I'm chosen, I'm equipped. If I'm equipped, I know how to get out of it. If I know how to get out of it, it's the word of God. I don't fall into that trap. Oh, I feel so bad, Lord. Now I have to like feel like a mouse for the next 20 days because I can't do anything because I have to be ashamed. Oh, no, you don't. Where is that in the Bible? You don't have to be ashamed as penance. What is this? We don't do penance to get out of our sin. We stand up and say, I see that. I rebuke it. I refuse it. I kick it out in Jesus' name. Don't come back. Amen. And then I get back into my positional authority and I go, who do you want me to rescue that just felt like that? Who is it out there that feels like that? Who is downtrodden and ashamed and doesn't know what the enemy has done to them? Let me just punch Satan in the face. I'll go find that shamed person and I will bring them into value. Because everybody matters. You matter. Aren't you glad you mattered to God? Aren't you glad you mattered to somebody who brought you the good news? Aren't you glad somebody told you what it was? Aren't you glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ is alive? Aren't you glad that you got transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about going to hell? Unless you still are. Unless you have discounted everything that God paid for with his son. Unless you've decided to live an evil life and call it good. Not 12 o'clock. Thank you, Duffy. Our mindset has to change. Okay, oh, wow. Wow, I've been doing that. Well, that doesn't look like God. That doesn't look like Jesus. Okay, I'll turn that around. Satan, I'm not going to be a part. I'm not going to look like that. I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to do that. Okay, Jesus, forgive me. Now, put my armor back on. Go get your fire extinguisher. Okay, who can I help? Who can I give to? Who can I be the difference to? Who can I be the light and the darkness to? What is my calling today? You know that Jesus called his disciples and he said, follow me. And you know that that was because they were never supposed to stay inside. Do you know the church was never supposed to stay inside? Some people are very excited about that. And some people are horrified. The church is supposed to be mobilized. The church is supposed to come in the church. Now, wait, I didn't read you this. This is important too. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. COVIDitis. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do not forget about coming to be a part of what God is doing in an assembly. Because when we assemble, we have a different kind of community. When we get together, we have a different depth of relationship. When we have a different depth of relationship, we co-labor together. When we feel down, that one feels up. When that one feels down, this one feels up. That one can minister to that one, and then you both get back on the same page to go out and give it to somebody else. That is where we're going. We can no longer just come and go, oh, what can we do to make people happy at Liberty? Listen, I want you to be very happy at Liberty. I want you to think this is the best church that ever was. And if it is your church, it is the best church that ever was. because it is your church. But our church is called to do greater things than what it's doing right now. And God is done with all of this crazy crap. I said it. You know, so what's keeping us back? Why are the chosen not doing anything? Didn't we have a commission? Oh, it sounds something like this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That means you might have to preach to a creature. You might consider them creatures. They might look like a creature. Have you seen what the world looks like right now? For real. If you've ever watched a fashion show, don't do it. Like the high fashion, like down the aisle Paris, do not look at that. It is a horror story. They call it fashion. And then people go, oh, is that the newest fashion? Are you crazy? They're not even going to wrap that stuff anywhere near me. They couldn't even put it on a mannequin next to me. I will kick that thing down. No one needs to dress like that. Nobody. Nobody. We have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter what is going on. We have to go, oh, there's a soul inside. There's a spirit that's going to last forever. Where are they going? How can I reach them? What is their hang up? What has been done to them? The reason why they look like this is because of this and this and this and this. And they have a whole line of things that somebody needs to get their arm on and go and bust through so that they can find the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what has been holding us back? Well, I don't know. Fear. Yeah, fear. Well, you know, what if they don't receive it? Oh, I don't know. Are they going to shoot you? Oh. Yes, today they might. And if they do, we will be in the presence of the Lord. Okay? What can we fear? Who can we fear? If God be for me, who can be against me? Okay? If they shoot me, I just hope they shoot me really well. You can't let fear dictate what you do. That is a spirit. It's a spirit of intimidation. If you just look at it for what it is, it's the enemy, and then you'll get mad enough to do something about it. You need to stare fear down. That's it. We don't put up with fear. It's a spirit. Go. False responsibility. Well, I have other things I have to do. I have my list. I can't be worried about people going to hell. I mean, I got to get my list done. Really? You're going to die with a list in your pocket. What? When you get before the Lord and you stand before him and that's judgment day, are you going to hand him your list and say, I'm sorry, this was my priority list. I mean, I had to get these things done. You understand. You know, well, how many people are behind you coming into glory? My list was important. I had to get my list checked off. This is important. It was important. Really? God's like, well, what about the people? What about my heart? What about them? What about them? Did you do something for them? Well, I prayed for my aunt one day. I prayed for my aunt. Is she here? No. Sober. This is a sobering time for us to recognize who are we supposed to touch? Who are we supposed to reach? How are we supposed to reach them? Here's what's going on. People want to blame everything else except for themselves. Well, the church ought to look like this. Well, the pastor ought to do this more. Well, we need to be doing this more. Well, what about that? You know, what about what they're saying? Don't you think we ought to be involved in this? Don't you think we ought to be involved with that? I just want to say this to you. Shut up. Shut up. Because what is it doing? It's feeding the atmosphere with negativity and judgment. Here's what you need to do. How can I provoke you to love and to do good? How is my life provoking you to love and to do good? Oh, if everybody in this, okay, Jesus had 12 people. Change the world. Minus one, plus millions. If Jesus lost a few, he lost one. Disciples lost many, but they won the world. We have a commission going on. We can't be disillusioned with what it looks like right now. We can't go, oh, you know, what about, you know, why are there empty chairs? Fill them. Fill them with people that don't feel comfortable coming to church, and let them experience the presence of God and pray for them and let them get their miracle. And guess who's going to get excited? Do you remember when you got saved? Because if you don't remember when you got saved, maybe you didn't, because it should be an event. You were transferred from darkness into his marvelous light. It is an event when you shift who you serve. It's not just a prayer that you pray. It's an event. It's a life-changing event. Amen. Then all of a sudden you get hungry and thirsty after righteousness. You're like, how can I do better? How can I learn? What do they have at that church that I could learn about the Bible? The Bible? The Bible? Is the Bible really true? What people don't even know about the Bible. Do you know this? People don't even know that it's just a book to them. They've been lied to. It doesn't carry the words of eternal life, except for it does carry the words of eternal life, and it's hidden inside of us. In America, yay, we get to carry it around. We get to still talk about the Bible. We can hand out Bibles. I hand out Bibles. I keep Bibles in my car so I can give them away. Because the Word of God is alive, and somebody's got to do something about this. Okay, all right, I'm going to be done. You people, I don't want to lose you. Okay. Here's what you need to do. Get up in the morning with Jesus on your mind. Just get up in the morning with Jesus on your mind. Hi, Jesus. Let me just think about you for a minute. Let me remember all the amazing things you've done for me. All right, let me just get a revelation of that. Wow. I was a mess. More than once. But I was on your heart. And you rescued me over and over again. Hey, God. If you'll do it for me, you'll do it for them. Then you get your word out. Even if you don't have 2 hours to spend in the morning. People go, well, I can't study the Bible because I don't have 2 hours in the morning. Okay, well, let me just ask you. Did you watch that movie? Oh, well, I don't know. I think they lost about 2 hours. You have enough time to open your Bible and to look into the word and say, God, what is the word for me for the day? What is it? Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's give everything you have and follow me. Maybe it's mercy. Maybe you show mercy to somebody who doesn't deserve mercy. Maybe the word of the day is forgiveness. Maybe you forgive, and then you look for somebody who needs to forgive. Right? And then you say, God, okay, I got it. This is your word for me today. Now, I want you to order my steps. You said you order the steps of the righteous. I'm righteous. I step into my righteousness. And now I'm asking you to prepare the way before me. And I'm asking you that you soften the hearts of whoever I'm going to speak to. Get them ready to receive the words that I'm going to bring. Because I'm bringing the words of life to somebody today. I'm going to make some kind of an action. I'm going to do some kind of good deed. I am going to provoke somebody to good works. I am going to love on somebody. I may have to just hug somebody. I may just have to give them a good word. I might have to smile at them, or I might have to empty my wallet, or I may have to put them in my car and take them somewhere, or I might have to be willing to do whatever you ask me to do. But I just want you to know, God, I've enlisted. I signed up for what you commissioned me to do. I'm no longer going to sit on the sidelines anymore. I'm not going to walk by that poor person on the side of the road because they didn't fit into who I talked to. Beat up, dying, bloody. I thought they were less than me. I looked at them as though they weren't worthy. God, I'm not going to do that anymore. Every person deserves Jesus. Every person deserves him. God is looking for the one who will go out and say, oh my gosh, that person is hurting and wounded and lost and dying. And what if it's their last day? And what if I'm the only voice they'll ever hear before they die? What if it's me? It is you. It is you. You're chosen. The chosen have to choose back. You can't stop looking. You can't stop seeing. You can't just survive anymore. People are buying food that lasts for 30 years again. We've done this before. Christians are so ridiculous. Y2K. Arm up, buy your survival food. Because you're going to need it, really. Is what you think? I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. That's what the Bible says. But no, we go back to listening to the fray. Listen, if God has to send a raven to drop food to you, if you are listening to God, he will feed you. He'll drop manna from heaven. You've got to get your mindset right. You know what you need to do if you want to always be fed? You need to give some food to somebody. There's a conditional thing going on with God. It's called seed, time, and harvest. It's not waste your money on food that tastes like poo-poo so that you can eat it 30 years from now. Cardboard. Thank you. Cardboard. You open that up. Okay, seriously, spend your money on that. Spend your money on a life. Spend your money on a seed. Spend your money on somebody out there that needs to know God loves them and God chose them. That's who we are, church. And God is not going to be satisfied until we are out being motivated for him and his kingdom. He's just going to keep beating this drum. He'll love on you. I love you. I love you. I'll hug you as long as you want me to hug you. I will speak into your life. I will rescue you when you need to be rescued. I pray for you. I care for you. I seriously love you. It is actually ridiculous. And anybody who knows me well knows it's true. But I am not your answer. I am your answer. And I'm their answer, and you are somebody sitting next to you's answer, and you are their answer too. You cannot sit on the sidelines anymore. We have to provide an opportunity for everybody. Somebody needs prayer today. Somebody may need groceries today. Somebody needs to be discipled today. Somebody who wants to know about the word is looking for somebody who will sit down and take the time to show them the word. Oh, you know why we don't want to do that? Well, what if we don't know the word enough? What if we can't? Listen, do you have Google on your phone? You find everything else on there. Do you want to build an automobile? You could probably find it on Google. Do you want to build a life? If you want to invest in a life, you can look up a scripture. Oh, yeah, I remember that scripture. Okay, Google. Where does it say that God so loved the world that he gave his only son? John 3:16. Amazing. It shows up on your phone. You go, I have this to share with you. This saved my life. He said, for the whole world. You're included in the whole world. That all might be saved. All. We don't have any excuses anymore. We're out of excuses. Somebody needs you to be a warrior that knows how to pray. Oh, we're going to pray this week. We're coming together Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in case you guys forgot. We're going to be praying. We're going to be interceding. We're going to be warring, but we're going to be activating too. We have got to get active. We have got to know who we are, and then we have to do something about knowing who we are. So, you know, we are shifting some things even in the church. So I have a sheet. I have a sheet of how, listen, this is so much in my heart. You saw how I activated people today. Okay, you know why I called those people up? Because they actually came to classes and they actually knew what they were supposed to do. So we're going to have some training for people who need some training, because there is some proper etiquette that you have to know. There's some ways to, and so when you come for training, I promise you that I'm really nice. I also promise you I will correct you and adjust you if you need it. This is the way I learned, and they weren't even that nice. And I didn't even care. You know why? Because I was intended. I had my intentions to grow up in God. My intentions is to grow up in God. I don't care if they're nice to me. Tell me what to do. Just tell me how to apply it. Just tell me what to do. I need some hungry people like that. I need some people that say, just show me how to do it and I'm going to go apply it. All we need is 12, but I'd take all of you. So we'll have some training. We'll have some things. I want to get you up here on this day. I want some of you to be taking up the offering. I want some of you to be prophesying. I want to have a prayer corner. I want to have a wisdom corner. I want to have everybody involved in the service. I want you guys to know that you are valuable to me and you are valuable to each other. But more than that, I want you to know that you are valuable to them. And I don't want to stand in front of God and say, I taught them how to be nice to each other. In the vision that I had years ago, God had me in the palm of his hand, but behind me on the road of righteousness, there were people behind me. And he said, those are the ones that you want to the Lord. You're going to stand on that road. The people that I saw behind me were not me bringing them. It was me compelling you to bring them to. And there are multitudes that are being weighed right now. If the church doesn't care, who will? When he comes, will he find faith? And will you be one of the faithful? I'll close by saying this. I don't feel comfortable with evangelism. Not an evangelist. Dear God, if only you would have called me to be evangelist, I am sure I would like that. But he didn't call me to be an evangelist. He did call me to evangelize, though. So, they had a movie on about Louis Palau. Now, Louis Palau was an evangelist. And, you know, it was torture to watch for me because I don't speak Spanish. And so if I spoke Spanish, it would be wonderful because they spoke half of the movie in Spanish with subtitles sometimes. But I will tell you what, whoever played Louis Blau in this movie, he was anointed. And when he began to speak about the love of God and what Jesus, the price that he paid, and when he began to share his vision and nobody would accept it, they wouldn't let him be an evangelist, they held him back. But he didn't care, he just went to the one. And then he went to the two. And then he went to a town and he met with a few people. And he learned and he grew and he did everything that he had an opportunity to do. And then God unleashed him on the world. And the same anointing that he had with one, he had with many. And they came by multitudes to serve the Lord. And their lives were changed. And there's story after story. I'm not talking about saying a prayer. I'm talking about changed lives. I may not be an evangelist, but I am determined to activate you. And we're all called to be lovers of God and lovers of people. And God can raise up evangelists in our midst. He's already raised up a bunch of people. He's raised up teachers. The fivefold ministry gift is coming in this house. And it'll either come through you guys or it'll come from somebody else that I bring in. Pick. You need to be an active Christian. So this week, all week long, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not tomorrow. Tomorrow I want you to fast and pray. Tomorrow I want you to get your heart ready. I want you to just go out somewhere on purpose. Wherever you go, go to the gas station, go to Publix, go to Costco, go to Ross. Go to wherever you go. Go Ross. Go somewhere, but don't go looking for anything else than a person. Go somewhere looking for a lost soul. Go sit in a parking lot. Go ask God where you're supposed to be. And then say, hey, we're having this thing. They won't understand everything. I might scare everybody to death. I don't care. We're going to do whatever the Spirit wants us to do. But you know what people are looking for? Authenticity and power. And you know what we're going to have? Authenticity and power. And people are going to experience what prayer is really like. They're going to experience what love is really like. They're going to experience what authentic Christians look like and act like. And you need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you need not to put the Holy Spirit over there in the corner because he brings life to the room. And so I have all kinds of plans, and I don't know if any of them are going to be instituted. I don't care. We have an outline like we did at Made for More. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, we'll switch it up. I don't care. Here's what I care about. People. I care about you, and I care about the lost. And we are going to have the lost come in. Amen? Okay, so, you can pass that out. Thank you, Anthony. So here's opportunities that we are going to give you at Liberty Life Center. You can look at this. We're going to have these all week long. You can look at this. You can pray over this. You can say, this is what I think I want to be involved in. And so if you want to be involved in it, then when we take up the offering just now, you can put it back in. Or I prefer that you don't put it in the offering plate. I prefer that you pray over it. You pray, you fast, you ask God what you're supposed to do. And if my list is not what you want to do or what you think you're called to do or whatever else, I want you to feel free to tell me how you are going to change the world. There are things that I need you to do in this house to make this house work right. Okay, but there are things that I need you to do outside of this house, and I'm not going to tell, I cannot lead you outside the house by the hand to tell you what to do. I need you to be Christians. I just need you to exemplify Christ. I just need you to love him and love them. I just need you to do what God tells you to do. And maybe you're called to win one, just one. But maybe that one is a Louis Palau. Maybe that one is a Billy Graham. Maybe that one is Dr. Cho. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. But there are people here, I believe, that are supposed to win many. And all I know is you're a voice and you're in the army of God and you need to get activated. Amen? Okay. Are you in? Wow, that was pathetic. There, good. All right, how many of you are chosen? Okay. How many of you are chosen? Okay. How many of you are chosen that are going to go do something?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you for doing this. I love you.
Love you.
Yeah, but who do we love the most?
Jesus.
And who loves us the most?
Jesus.
And who loves them the most?
Jesus.
And we're going to go be their answer, right?
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.